T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We go out to the leadoff hotline to talk with my friend Craig Brown. You can read his work on Royals Review and Baseball Prospectus. You can give him a follow on Twitter as well, at @CraigBrown_BP. Craig, how you doing this morning, man?
I'm good, Brandon. Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. It's fantastic to have you on once again. So let's start with last night's starter, because I think Brad Keller is becoming a bit of a disappointing story this year, which is not something I anticipated. He's not throwing strikes. He's got the lowest strikeout-to-walk ratio in the league among qualified starters. Craig, you watch this team as much as anybody. What have you seen that's gone wrong for Brad Keller this year?
Yeah, he's just having a heck of a time with the control. I mean, it's really something that, you know, I don't think anybody really saw coming. With the walks last night, you know, the second inning, of course, was just a massive struggle for him, where he threw, I think it was like 30 pitches to get through the inning, walked a few batters in that inning. Overall, he's approaching 6 walks per 9 innings. I mean, that's a massive, massive amount. I haven't checked, like, the leaderboards or anything like that, but, I mean, if he's not number one, he's got to be knocking on that door.
Yeah, he's number two right now, right behind Yu Darvish.
Yeah, and we all know that Yu Darvish has struggled like crazy. Not good company for him. It's hard to say, because, you know, last night he kind of bounced back, and I know that Ed in his post game comments said, you know, that he was pleased with how he kind of recovered after that struggle of the second inning, and he did kind of seem to right the ship a little bit. It's weird for him. It just kind of falls apart. I'm not seeing anything, you know, from like a delivery standpoint, motion standpoint, that's going on. It's just that he's having a hard time finding the strike zone. And when he loses it, man, he loses it, right? I mean, he was throwing some pitches in that second inning that were just had no shot. I mean, just way outside. So the Royals have to solve this. I mean, you know, he's not an ace. It's like, you know, you say, hey, this is one of the best pitchers in the league, but, you know, he's certainly one of the most important pieces of this Royals rotation. So they got to unlock this inconsistency and get him locked back in.
So I find it interesting, because I'm looking at the numbers right now, and these aren't the end-all be-all, but Danny Duffy's got a 4.0 ERA, basically. Homer Bailey's at a 5.4, but he doesn't matter moving forward, obviously. Jacob Junis at a 5.8. Jorge Lopez at a 6.3 right now. Brad Keller at a 4.7, and he, like you just said, he can't find the strike zone. Listen, I'm the last one to call for a coach's job. I'm the last one to suggest that this is all on a pitching coach or something like that. But at some point, do we have to ask the question of, is the pitching coach that's in there right now the right guy to be able to develop these young pitchers? And if that's the case, like, you got to fix that here pretty soon, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question. Although, you know, I struggle with how much influence a pitching coach has at this level.
Okay.
But you're right. I mean, you've got to see progress. You can't have mass regression, which is kind of what we're seeing right here. I mean, those 5 guys that you listed, can you honestly say that anyone has taken a step forward or even maintained what they were doing last year? No, you can't say that. So you know, the coach is always the easy target, you know, may or may not be justified. I'm not there quite yet, but, you know, I mean, and partially because it's like these arms. I mean, you got Keller, a Rule 5 guy, you know, Junis, I never really thought of him as anything really more than like a number 4 type starter. Lopez, you know, kind of the same. So it's not like, you know, you've got these guys that are like, you know, say the Danny Duffy pedigree, right?
Sure.
Like, hey, we're looking at a bunch of number 1, number 2 type starters here. But still, you got to, you know, figure out a way to excel with what you're working with. And right now, these guys are just kind of not getting it done.
We're talking with Craig Brown. You can read his work on Royals Review and Baseball Prospectus. You can give him a follow on Twitter as well. You should do so, at @CraigBrown_BP. So we got out the hard part of this, that being the rotation. The lineup has actually been a little bit more fun to watch than I expected this year, Craig. I want to ask you about the story from earlier this week, which was, of course, Nicky Lopez making his debut. We are now through four games. He's batting .375. He's getting on base almost at a 50% clip. Is this pretty much what you expected from Nicky Lopez early on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm crazy impressed with how he's handled himself so far. I it's small sample size and everything, but he's doing everything that the Royals hoped for. And you know, I thought it was a little bold to put him in at number two in the lineup. Fresh up from AAA, it's worked perfectly. He fits right in. I've been excited. I've been as excited to watch him play than any prospect in, you know, recent memory, just because of the way that he takes his at-bats. I mean, the guy is a grinder. He's fun to watch.
He walks. Craig, they have a guy that walks.
Yeah. He walks and he doesn't strike out, you know? I mean, I saw him go down swinging last night. I was like, oh, man, you know, I mean, that's notable, right? Because that's not supposed to happen. He's only struck out twice in his 19 plate appearances so far. He doesn't look overmatched or overwhelmed. I mean, you know, again, we got to kind of temper our expectations, I think. He's a very good player. He's not, you know, like a savior of this team.
Sure.
But he's a guy that's a great fit, for any team, really, up the middle. So, you know, it's been a great start for him. I'm super excited to see what happens going forward.
So I was thinking kind of big picture the other day, Craig, and I put together a list because I was like, you know, it feels like this team's not maybe as far away as I expected them to be at this point of the season. I was just kind of going position by position. I was like, all right, catcher, you feel like Salvi's kind of your answer there. Second base now, you feel like you've filled with Nicky Lopez, at least for the foreseeable future. Mondesi is certainly your shortstop of the future. I feel like based on what we've seen this year, at least for next season, Hunter Dozier is going to be playing third. You got Witt somewhere in the outfield. Jorge Soler's probably going to be your DH at least for the next year or so. It feels kind of to me, Craig, and you can correct me if you disagree, it feels like at least six of next year's nine position players are kind of already written in stone into the lineup. That if you're a Royals fan, that's got to feel pretty good for you right now, based on obviously the record, not what you hoped, but that's kind of a successful start to the year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this, it's really interesting how this team is kind of folded together and, you know, how strong that top half of that lineup has been. I think that, the future offensively looks good. They've struggled lately. They've had a difficult time scoring runs. I think a team like the Royals is going to kind of run into that from time to time. Other than their 11-run outburst on Tuesday, they've had games, well, they haven't scored more than three runs, you know, in a week, aside from that game.
Right.
It is a good lineup. It's a fun lineup to watch. It's a reason to tune in. But you know, we can talk about the lineup, and yeah, that's a positive. But unfortunately, the counterbalance, the pitching, is, you know, not there, which is why they're, you know, in last in the American League,
right,
overall with a .333 winning percentage. They gotta, you know, balance this out somehow. It's nice though, at least, if they can move forward with the lineup feeling pretty well set. They don't need to do a lot of adjusting or any kind of overhaul on it, because these guys are going to be here for a while.
Final question for Craig Brown. You can read his work on Royals Review and Baseball Prospectus and follow him on Twitter @CraigBrown_BP. Craig, yesterday, Alex Gordon told Jeffrey Flanagan that he is actually starting to lean towards another season of playing baseball, only if that season is here in Kansas City. Would that be something you're interested in?
I mean, the way he's played this year, absolutely. and he's not blocking anybody. Somebody asked me the other day, what's Alex Gordon going to do next year? And I said, he's going to do whatever he wants to do. and if he wants to be back in Kansas City, I think that there's a way to get him back. I know that the Royals would probably love to have him back, just from the experience standpoint. They value experience, leadership. You know, he brings that, a character guy, obviously, into the clubhouse. And if he's producing this the way that he's produced, I mean, we're excited about the young guys. We're excited about Nicky Lopez, about Whit Merrifield, about Adalberto Mondesi. But for me, one of the best stories so far in the early going has been the literal rebirth of Alex Gordon as an offensive force. It's been really fun to see. I'm super stoked that this guy is getting out there and making the most of this opportunity in the final year of his deal. I was thinking that he would hang it up at the end of this year, but you know, I was not surprised to see those comments in that Flanagan article this week. We'll see how it plays out. Obviously, there's still a lot more baseball to go, but I would not be surprised to see him back next year. And it makes sense. The only place that he wants to be is Kansas City. It makes total sense.
He is Craig Brown. You can read his work. Royals Review is the place to find it, as well as at Baseball Prospectus. You can feed him a follow on Twitter at @CraigBrown_BP. Craig, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for hopping on with us this morning.
Thanks a lot, Brandon.
You bet, man. That is Craig Brown joining us here on The Leadoff on 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.